I want to quickly tell you a story. When I was in Wellington, I started mountain biking. And when I got to Bloom, mountain biking was a kind of an ironic kind of definition to it, because it's like road biking, but with a mountain bike. And there's no mountains, for those of you who haven't been to Bloom. But it's quite flat. But I used to get onto my mountain bike quite often, weekly actually, in Bloemfontein. And there's one or two koppies, little hills, that you go and scout out. And I remember this one estate. I know Linky will know. She's from Bloom. There's a place called Woodlands. And so Woodlands is like a wildlife estate. And so imagine going for a game drive, but on your mountain bike. That's quite insane. So you'll drive and then you have to stop because there's a giraffe on your single track or there's a zebra walking across the road. It is literally like that. And then in between all of the trails that you ride on, there are beautiful houses, like mansions, all right? Massive houses. If you are in Bloom, you want to live in Woodlands. And I remember this one day riding my bike through the trails of Woodland Hills, just admiring the beautiful houses, two-story, three-story houses, mansions. And in the next moment, I saw this one house. I mean, I was focused on all the animals just to keep myself safe. But this one house stopped me in my tracks. I had to stop and just watch. And I actually forgot to take a photo of this house. But it was a ruin. It was like the roof was falling down. There were no windows. Like, it is obvious that no one is living in this house. But it was so weird because this is Woodland Hills, you know, and this is million-dollar houses. But suddenly you see this house, and it's almost like a picture. Can you put that picture up? It almost looked something like this. It wasn't this one, but I found this, and it looked quite similar. Like a house that is completely in ruins. It doesn't make sense. I mean, who wants to live there? If you had an expectation, I'm going to live in Woodlands in a beautiful, big house. And the reason why I'm telling you this story is because a house is built for someone to live in. There's no point to this house. It has to completely be renovated to be livable. And for us, as God's people, as His church, we are called His house. Did you know that? And it's a house for someone to live in. Not a house that's going to look like this, where the roof is falling down. I mean, if you go into that building, it's going to be dangerous. Who of you are builders or into construction? Yeah, this morning, lots of you guys. I mean, so my construction knowledge is quite limited. Forgive me, correct me afterwards. I'm open for that. But I realized, looking at this house with so much potential, with some raw ingredients, that it's not fulfilling its purpose. And as a people of God, are we fulfilling our purpose? Are we the house that God wants to come and live in? Or is it just we are some bricks and some electricity hanging out the roof, and we've got raw ingredients, but the question is, does Jesus want to come and live with us? Are we a house where He wants to dwell in? And this morning I want to jump straight into a scripture. And the question that I just ask, what kind of house does God want? What is the house that He is looking for? What is the church that He's looking for? And the way I grew up, we always thought of church as a building that you go to, right? Where now we've realized that, oh, okay, it's not a building, it's a people. But then the Bible speaks about us being a building. So what is it now? You know, is church a building or is it not a building? And I think church is a people that reflects something of a building. And it's great to have a building to go to, but it really just facilitates the people. It facilitates the church. And so Peter answers that question for us. What is the church God wants? In 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5, as you come to Him, which is Jesus, the living stone, this is important. We come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him. You also, that's me and you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so we come to Jesus, Him being the living stone, Him being the one that saves us. We don't come to a building without Him. We don't come to a religious thing. We come to a person, a living stone, the living stone. That's the starting point. So where do we start to have Him in our building? Is we start with Him, the living stone. He makes us alive in Him. Who of you have been made alive in Christ Jesus? I remember the life I lived before knowing Him. I'm so glad my wife didn't know me before then. Did you know Sean before he got saved? Oh my goodness. It must have been the Lord's grace to give you eyesight and new vision. And then we come to the living stone as living stones for a purpose. For a purpose. To become a spiritual house so that God can dwell in by His Spirit. And so we are a house. We are a building. We are a spiritual house. And in this house, there's important things to note. There are walls, there are windows, there's a roof, there's purpose to this. That's why leadership is so important, because someone has to lead this house. And so I want to tell you this morning that your role matters. In this house, I'm so glad your building has bricks, and I know it's been painted over by, but imagine seeing a hole in this wall that's not supposed to be there. It would look odd. It will be, I know the wind blows here in Gordon's Bay, eh? Yeesh. And the rain doesn't come from the top, it comes from the side. Imagine having a hole in your building and a wind and storm hits you, because storms will hit us, eh? In this life, storms will hit us. And so where's the safety if this house is being built properly? If we are slotted into one another, as one brick is intertwined to another, and there's bricks on top of me and bricks around me, and there's a sense of, man, there's a unity when I look at this wall. It's not a hole in the wall. And so do you know that you might be that brick that might be missing? We are living stones, living bricks. There's no purpose to a brick just lying outside there on its own. There's no point to it. You've got the raw material and the raw ingredients, which, I mean, with that brick, you can fulfill a lot of purpose. But if that brick is not being built into this house properly, you won't fulfill your purpose. And so that's something that we often need to settle, is I need the person next to me. I need that person. I don't have to be like them. I don't have to be the same as them, but I need that person. And we need to appreciate the differences among us, knowing that without you, we're going to have holes in our wall. We're going to be vulnerable to the outside. We're going to be vulnerable to whatever comes at His house. And so the Lord has a purpose for you. This past holiday, we bought my boy a little puzzle. Well, we actually rented a little puzzle. There's a place where you can rent toys. It's a game changer for parents. Anyway, and so we rented this puzzle piece for him, and he loved it. He played with it. And when we gave it back, they were like, Meneer, there's one piece missing. I'm like, oopsie. Now I'm thinking, okay, we're not at the holiday home anymore where we were. I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. Can I just pay for it? What needs to happen? And almost there's this picture of a missing puzzle piece. And there was a word that came out in the prayer meeting about the Lord forming us together like one puzzle. And we all are these different puzzle pieces. And if you are not in your right place, this puzzle is not complete. This puzzle is not complete. And can I remind us that the Lord is coming back for a complete, pure, spotless church? He's not coming back for a house that looked like the photo that I showed you. He's not settling for it. His standard is a pure, spotless, blameless church. And so this morning might be a moment for you realizing, oof, I don't know if I am built in properly. Maybe I am this puzzle piece that's not in my rightful place. Maybe I am, in that sense, missing. Can we allow the Lord to build us in? Because we are a work in progress. We are a work in progress individually. You're not like him yet. I know Sean is close. Hey, Chantal, would you agree to that? Very close. So none of us are like him yet. So we are a work in progress. But as a church, as a house, as a building, we are also a work in progress. That's why, Jesus, help us. We need to be led by you, and we need to be led by our leaders, because you are the one that's forming us, that's purifying us, so that we can look like him. And so you've got a purpose in this. Years ago, we went on an outreach. We built into a church in Ireland. It was a beautiful church, loved the people, and we have a friend, Yohanri and I have a friend, and I know friends of Linky, called Isel. Some of you might know Isel. And so Isel went with us on this outreach into Ireland. And it was quite a busy week for us, doing a lot of stuff with the church. And this one Friday morning, we had like an off type morning. And Yohanri and I love sightseeing. Whenever we get to travel, whenever we get to go to different places, we love spending every now and then some time sightseeing. And so this Friday morning, we had an off time. And so now I've got a team with me, and I'm asking these guys, okay, what do you want to do? We've got a few hours. What do you want to do? And our dear Isel said she wants to go to a museum. She clearly didn't know us, because we don't like museums. Who of you loves museums? You can be honest. Sure. Sorry for stepping on some toes in my story that's going to follow. But personally, man, I can't stand it. A museum feels like so boring to me. I mean, Yohanri and I will go to a beautiful museum or a building. We won't even pay to go in. We'll just stand on the outside, take a photo. Oh, that's nice. Let's move on. Where's a nice coffee shop? Or, you know, where can we do some exciting things? But Isel desperately wanted to go into this museum. And so we let her. Okay, Sal, you do you. And we'll take a photo. That's all good. And then we'll do us. And we went to a coffee shop and explored some of the city. But let me convince you a bit more. A museum has a lot of what? Ornaments. That's a big word for an Afrikaans guy. So I had to go and find the meaning of what it is. What is an ornament? An ornament. Okay? It's this. It is a thing that is used to make something look more attractive, but actually having no practical purpose. So in my mind, I don't want to pay money to go and look at ornaments with no, there's like no practical purpose to whatever they show you. And I know there's more to it in history, but I struggle with that. But I want to tell you this morning that the church is not supposed to be a museum. The church is a place where we are alive, not filled with ornaments, looking or portraying something that's alive, or portraying something nice, or portraying something to attract favor. No, no, we are living stones that's alive. If you are a born again believer this morning, you have the Holy Spirit and you are alive this morning. That's why I love this worship. I mean, we could have continued, eh? It felt alive. Not because of who led worship, but because of living stones, looking at the living stone, and because he made us alive, why don't I want to pour out my love out on him? Living stones, that's alive. A people that's participating. Not coming to watch, but coming to participate. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, The whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too, that's us, that's me and you, we too, you too, are being built together, work in progress, eh? We are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Man, isn't that what we are aiming for? We are being built together. Why? So that He can come and dwell with us. Imagine having every church meeting around the person of Christ, around the presence of Christ. That's why we have prayer meetings before church. That's why the elders are having meetings. It's not just to look busy. Man, we are seeking the Lord's ways. He is the owner of the house. And Lord, how do you want your house to be built? We can come with great ideas and latest trends. And I mean, all the videos online will tell you, hey, no, church should look like this. And no gifts and no more gifts and this and that. And there's so many winds of doctrine that will shape us on how we think church should look like. And then we forgot that there's an owner that wants a specific house. Ah, man. And so we are being built together on Christ, the cornerstone. Can you put that picture up of a cornerstone? This is a picture of, I couldn't find like a real life one because this is an ancient picture of what a cornerstone is. It very much is the first stone that's laid. And I know the construction guys, and please correct me afterwards, but there's a sense of the cornerstone is the first stone being laid, and then the rest of the building is shaped by that one stone. We don't build all the other bricks and stones, and then if we find space somewhere, we'll put the cornerstone there. And we try and bring Jesus into our picture. No, no, no. Jesus is the cornerstone which we build our church on, which means the direction of the church is set by Jesus, the cornerstone. How this thing looks like, it's not up to us, really. It's up to us to live it out, but it's really up to Him. And to simply put it, now I'm going to get in trouble. If I look at a building on how, what should be built, I know there's a lot of there's a lot of detail and ways of building a building, but for me, simply it means there's a foundation and then there's bricks. I know there's more to it, but let's keep it simple for my sake. Can we do that? When I look at how to build a house, there has to be a foundation, which is, again, Jesus, the cornerstone, the first stone laid. The one that brings everything into alignment. Everything has to be built on Him. Because if it's not there, cracks will start to show eventually. And so on top of the foundation, we get the living stones, that's us, the bricks, being formed, being built to become a dwelling for Him. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? It's nice to say that I am a temple of God, eh? But actually, when we look at Scripture, it's always plural. Like you, we are the temple of God. And so again, we need one another. We need the local church. I've been part of Josh Jen now for 14 years. And growing up, I mean, when I joined Josh Jen, I was blown away. I actually felt, why haven't anyone showed me this? Like, I read Scripture, and listen, we're not a perfect church. We're aiming for perfection, which is Jesus. But for years, I was brought up in a way of not knowing this. And my very first meeting into Josh Jen was wild. I remember that prayer meeting which I joined before the meeting started, a guy called Kasi. And Kasi can pray. Like, he can pray. I mean, when he prays, he prays. When Kasi prays, it feels like he knows that the Lord is hearing me. He prays. And so this is just a quick story off my notes. We were standing in a circle like we do in a prayer meeting, and he was going for it and praying and being passionate for the Lord. And look, I grew up conservative. Like, I'm praying in my mind. in my heart. The Lord knows my heart anyway. I'm not going to pray out loud. But Cassie didn't get that script. Cassie was praying. He got so excited that he couldn't help himself. In the middle of the prayer meeting, he started doing push-ups. He jumped onto the floor and started doing push-ups and like, okay. And then he continued praying. I'm like, what just happened? That was my first Josh Jen experience. And hopefully, anyway, if you had a similar experience, it's good that you're still here. But the reason why I'm telling you this is because I've seen something of a church being alive. I've seen something of a church where it is all about the owner. It's all about the cornerstone. Where church isn't just a meeting that I attend. It's actually a dwelling place for someone. And may we never drift from that place. And as the church grows, it's difficult to not, you get into admin and administrational decisions. And there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes all the time. But all of it has a purpose to host the presence of the Lord. Because this house should be a dwelling place for Him. And so I want to be quite practical, if that's fine. Just to look at some signs of what it looks like for a church to be alive. And this is not an audit to you guys. This is some signs for us to evaluate our own lives. To evaluate, what is my part in this? And the question that I want to ask you this morning, if the future of this church is based on your level of devotion, what would it look like? What would it look like? And it's a sobering question which scares me. And I know we all need one another, and together we form the bigger picture. But if the future of this congregation is up to just you, what will that look like? And I'm going to read a few signs that I see in Scripture where we can actually examine our own lives, examine our own hearts. Okay, let's look at my life. Let's look at the Word. Is it matching up? Is that all right? And so for us to remember this well, is three things. There's an upward connection. What does that mean? It means we are connected to Jesus. We are in a church where His presence is tangibly felt. When last did you experience His presence? I mean, I did just now in worship. I loved it. It has to be in a norm where we experience His presence. Because Matthew 18 tells us, where two or three are gathered in His name, there I am among you. And so if we are gathered in His name, we have to experience His presence. Acts 2 tells us in the meetings, there was a sense of awe in the meetings. Isn't that what we want in our meetings? Like, awe. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, awe. Awesome, you know. That's what it's like. We are all just in wonder of His presence and how good He is. And don't listen to this. Don't sit and wait for it to happen. You have a part to play in it. And so whether you're standing on stage, whether you're standing at the back, whether you are in kids' church, whether you're in parking, wherever you find yourself, and I'm thinking Sunday services here, wherever you find yourself, you've got a part to play to really nurture the presence of the Lord. And it's not just about coming to the front in worship. It does help, I must say. You can be wherever and contend for the presence of the Lord. A place where we experience the conviction of the Spirit. A place where joy erupts in our heart. Like even this morning, it just felt like, yeah, I want to give Him glory. A place where we can find healing. Because none of us are fully healed, are we? We all need some form of healing, some form of wholeness that needs to come. A place where we worship in spirit and in truth, where people jump and dance, and there's words that get shared, and there's prophetic, and there's tongues, and there's all sorts of things happening. Like, I desire that every time we meet, we almost have this, yo, what's going to happen today? Because the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Often, I told the other elders the other day, often, even in our prayer meeting, we sense a different expectation in the room. Then you know, man, today it's on. Today it's on. We don't know what's going to happen. But some meetings, you walk into the prayer meeting, and I've been in prayer meetings where just myself arrives. I'm like, And then you're like, oh, this is going to be a hard one. No one wants to be a part of those meetings. But let's be a people full of expectation. Whenever we meet, who knows what the Lord is going to do this morning. A place where worship is God-centered and not self-centered. Who is it that recently gave feedback to a pastor in a church in America? And he said, "Yeah, pastor, the worship wasn't, just didn't feel it this morning." And he bluntly replied, "Oh, well, great, it wasn't for you anyway. It was for Jesus." A bit of a tongue-in-cheek moment, I'm sure, but there's truth to it. Our worship isn't about, oh, did we get a goosebump this morning? Was the worship leader on notes? You know, what is it? Actually, man, it's God-centered. The question is, was He pleased with it? Did He enjoy our false singing? Did He enjoy our extravagant worship? Did He enjoy the still, quiet moment? Did He enjoy this morning? Otherwise, it's so easy to fall into the fear of man or the acceptance and the approval of man, and we completely miss that there's an owner that wants worship to look a certain way, and it's actually for Him. A place where the Word of God is central and active, which I'm sure it always happens. A place where the Bible is not just read, it's believed, it's taught, and it's being lived out. A place where there's a hunger for His Word. The other day, I sat in a coffee shop, and I don't know about you, but often I try and listen what the table next to me is saying in their conversation. Is it just me? Hey, I mean, I'm like a bit curious here, like, what are they talking about? And then next moment, I heard them going through Scripture. I'm like, that just blew me away. That just blew me away completely. I didn't expect that. That's the church Jesus wants, a people that takes the Word of God seriously. I mean, I don't care where you sit, but I take it seriously. Are you guys still with me? So having a place where Jesus is among us, having that upward, you get what I'm saying? Worship, the Word, it's all about His presence, all about Him. But then the second thing is having an inward change. So we had an upward, now we have an inward, a place where lives are being transformed. 2 Corinthians 5 speaks about if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Has the Lord made you new this morning? Have you brought your heart, whatever state it might be in this morning, have you brought your heart to Him and allowed Him, the Maker of heaven, our Savior and our Lord, have you allowed Him to make you a new creation where He's not in the business to just make you better, but He's making you new? And this morning, if you don't know Him, it's the worst thing for you to do is to go and try and be better. If you don't know Him this morning, the best thing you can do is to come and allow Him to make you new. A place where lives are being transformed in our salvation, but also in the way we walk as Christians, where we still get convicted about sin. Ooh. Where we still actually listen to the Spirit forming us. And the standard hasn't changed, eh? I mean, culture flip-flops. Who knows what's going to happen next week, you know? But the culture and the standard of Jesus hasn't changed. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Be holy. Don't be cultural. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. And in this culture, it will be more countercultural as we go along. It will go against the grain even more, because the world is turning more dark every day, by the minute. And as a church, as He's building, more than ever, it's a time to shine our light. But that light starts with us having an internal transformation because of the work of the Spirit. And that light shines outwards. A place where there's a genuine love among us, where there's a fellowship. John 13 tells us, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that if you if you love one another, that will be the fruit of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And this is a place where there's real love. There's a real love. If unbelievers walk into our midst, they should actually just look at the way we are with one another and go, ah, these guys are serious about the Lord. They are Jesus' disciples. Not because of our amazing performance we have here in the front, but because of the love one for another. Because of that love, that is our evidence that we are his disciples. And you're going to have people in your community that's difficult to love. It might be you. If you think, no, I don't have someone like that, okay, it might be me. But that's the way of the Lord. He'll place you with people that's difficult to love, and maybe you are difficult to love. And then he'll place people around you that will love you. Give yourself for it. Don't keep people at arm's length. Give yourself to this building. Let the Lord build you in. Because why? For you to find acceptance, yes, but also for him to be here. A unity that goes much deeper than just on Sundays. Hey, how's it? Lekker in you. Yeah, great week, eh? Yeah. I know what it's like. We are busy and it's difficult to open your heart at times. But unity is much more than just enduring one another. Unity is having a genuine love and a genuine fellowship with one another. And then I want to end with having an outward expression. So we had an upward, it's a church making it all about him. And then there are all the signs of an inward change within us, but then there's an outward. Being a people that's generous. Like Sean shared earlier in his finances, being a generous people. Generosity is not determined about the amount, but the amount of heart that you give it with. Not just finances, but your time. I mean, I was here earlier because my wife was on worship. And I just saw one by one, I sat in my car, none of you saw me. But I saw one by one people arriving early. And I just loved it, man. People giving off their time. I loved it. And I didn't know what your role was. I didn't know what your function was this morning. But just that, man, I just want to be here. I just want to be with the people of the Lord. I want to be in his house. I want to give my time. I want to give of my home. I want to give my home. I want to host people. I want to give my car. I want to host the presence of the Lord with whatever I have. Having an outward generosity. Because it all really belongs to him, eh? I mean, we were joking about it, Rian and I, earlier. And we asked, hey, how are you doing? No, better than I deserve. There's a saying that goes around, and it's true. I mean, we don't really deserve anything. So everything that we do have is such a blessing from the Lord. And if the Lord has placed me in this house, I want to share it with you. Having an outward expression of him, where every person is active in the church. Not CrossFitting like Sean. And, you know, if you're that active physically, then that means something. That doesn't mean much. Active spiritually in this house. When there's an opportunity to serve, I'm there. When the conference is coming up, man, I want to buy my ticket now. Because I know, like, I bought my tickets a few weeks ago, and there's a sense of expectation in my heart that's building up already. I know it's 2 months away, but already I'm like, yes, can't wait. I want to give myself. I want to be active in God's house. A place where there's no place for spectators, but participators. Where the spiritual gifts are not just a theology that we believe, but it's something that we do in practice. And I know we don't always, like, Sundays are quite limited to spiritual gifts. Did you know that? I mean, there's a handful of people that preaches, that leads the meeting, that worships, and whatever, but that happens throughout the week. Nothing stops us from having coffees and messages of encouragement and really going outside of a Sunday and living it throughout the week. And Sundays, you'll see, That'll be an overflow of what's happening during the week. And so I want to encourage us this morning, live it out. Be a body that functions. I need to close. I want to close with this by having an outward expression. And it's something that I felt for you guys prophetically as a church, that the church will become a witness to the world. And as a church, it's great to gather. But from here, this is almost like the halftime show. When you think of a rugby match, you've got a first half and then there's a halftime. And then let's gather. Okay, guys, let's do this better. Let's focus on this. Remember this. Okay, who's this? Who's that? And then, okay, now we go. And we go and change the world out there. And for us as a church, this is good. But it can't stay here. We can't form a holy huddle where no one else can come in, or we don't go and find people. And so the church has to be the witness out there. And the best way to illustrate it in closing is, can I have, let's do five men. Skalk Willem, you from Somerset West, come and join me. Ria, and who else? I need five men. We'll just form a holy huddle for me. Yeah, Sean, you can join too, I know. Okay, there we go. Five men. Just lock in. Just form a circle. And this is a picture of unity, isn't it? It's part of it. This is what we call a holy huddle. It's difficult now for me to get to join this group. And you guys should behave in this group, eh? All right? It's difficult for me from the outside looking in. Okay, how can I join this group? They're not even looking at me, probably not even listening to me, you know? But this is not how the church should look like. How the church should look like is this. Can you guys turn around? Still have the form of a circle. Lock in with your arms, your elbows. Here we go. I feel like this is a beautiful picture of the church. Together, still in unity, I've got your back. I'm here with you, but outward focused. Always looking. Who can join? Who can I invite? Who can I make part of the circle? Who can I make part of the community? How can I bring people into my life? Suddenly, they're not distracted. Suddenly, there's an intentionality to, hey, what am I looking at? Yeah. I'm looking. I want to be a witness for the Lord. Thank you. You guys can grab a seat. Give them a hand. That was a beautiful illustration. The church that Jesus wants. That is what we're aiming for. So what part of the building are you? What part of the building are you? What is the hole that you can fill? What is it that the Lord has placed in your life and on your life that He wants to do with your life and through your life? And I want to remind us, the church is for Him. What are we building? Are we building a place where Jesus is the cornerstone, where we have His presence among us? And maybe for some of you this morning, you need to give yourself to one another more. Where you have kind of kept people at arm's length. You just do enough not to be contacted by the elders. But actually, there's more. There's more for you. There's a being built together. Imagine that church where every person is 100% built into what He wants. Where it is all about Him. I don't see individual bricks when I look at this wall. I look at the wall and I see a beautiful wall. Well, I don't want to be the center of it all. I want to blend in so much with the person with me that He gets the shine, that He gets the glory. We sang it earlier, the glory is yours, God. The way we do that is by living together, by being united. Him being the cornerstone, a place where Jesus is loved. A place where His people is loved, where lives are being transformed, a place of devotion. I mean, it's horrible for elders to try and convince people to be devoted. It's like, oh, I don't know about how you guys feel about it, but if you need to drag people, okay, just give one Sunday. I mean, often there's something of leadership that you have to lead people, but it's just so much more of a joy if you devote yourself. And as leaders, we see your devotion. Okay, great. There's one more that can build with us. Why not make that day today where you make a decision to devote yourself to the Lord, but also to one another.